make-believe, let's not pretend. We might be ill, but we're on the mend. It never starts, it never ends. Welcome to Craig and Friends. Welcome to Craig and Friends. Welcome to Craig and Friends.
On this episode, my guest Mark McNamara, legendary porn director and celebrated bon vivant and co-host of Discretion Advised, fabulous podcast I recommend you check out, his co-host John Hill, you've heard on this show before and you will again. Craig and Friends Movie Club t-shirts are here. Go to the link in the episode description, as well as the Patreon link for this show. So, now, let's get into my chat with Mark McNamara.
I can talk louder. I can talk softer.
Yes, you can.
Like this.
Oh, that sexy whisper.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And of course, that sexy whisper belongs to the very sexy proprietor of sex and other related matters, Mark McNamara.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Now, I regret not having one of my big elaborate intros for you, but I will paste one on afterwards.
I didn't realize we were starting. I thought we were just talking.
Well, I just like to roll into it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes,
well, we were having
what
a lovely
do in my job too.
How much of that do you do? Because for those not aware, of course, all of you do know Mark's work. You are a prestigious porn director and have been for many years.
You know what? The model asked me today. How long have you been doing this? And I had to calculate.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing this since 2008. So for those of us who don't want to do the math, that's like...
It's like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's nearly 20 years. That's how, let's say it like
God,
that.
God, why are you going to say it like that?
Well, because that says that you're right. It's a little over 10 years.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I'm happy to help.
A decade of rain.
So what got you into doing that, besides your prurient interests and general
right.
deviant habits?
I knew from the get that anal was for me. and then I found out it was for everybody.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
It
you
is.
You can get paid with it. I started off in mainstream TVs mm-hmm. and movies right after college. I had made a video when I was 17 and I sent it into MTV and then they aired my video and I was like, okay, this hobby that I've had all my life of like filming things, I'm not so bad at it.
What video and was it? What band?
It was...
McGravy said Spin Doctors.
I don't know if you've heard of Katy Perry. No. It was
J-Lo. Do you remember
J-Lo.
That?
That was me. You're welcome.
It's my favorite song. Uh-huh. I was inspired.
No, it was it wasn't a parody. It was like a shot-for-shot redo of J-Lo's video, Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they aired it on TRL, and then they had this whole series where they put people in music videos shot-for-shot.
Right,
and
right.
So I should have sued them back then. I'm still coming for you. And then, so I went to school, and then I worked at VH1 and MTV, and then I got approached and said, hey, will you write a script for porn? Because at that time, I was ghostwriting for Genre and Out Magazine for a porn guy. And he said, will you write a movie for us? And I didn't realize, oh, you have a script? Like, you want me to write the oohs and the ahs?
Yeah.
Got it. And so then he said, would you direct it? And I said, no, I don't. I've never been on a porn set. I don't know if I can just jump in and do that. I'll direct the story. Someone else come in and direct the sex. And we did it that way for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And then it just started doing all of it.
Yeah. Was it because you were like, you know what? My story is leading up to here, and then they're just not taking the energy
the
I need.
You're leaving the character behind as soon as I leave the room, and you guys are just butt-fucking like you're just horny.
Yeah.
No, you are a contractor, and he's your employee. You have to keep that character.
You're not abusing him. You're not using him. It's not, it's not by extortionate. It's just that, you know, he's comfortable with you. You're an avuncular character. Okay, now go.
Yeah, this is transactional.
Was that the first time that you directed actors?
No, in anal sex.
Well, I suppose in anal sex, that's not like summer stalk.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a little different.
Slightly.
There's a stalk involved.
Yeah, there is. Uh-huh.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. where we end. All the other seasons.
Many seasons. And also many locales, because you shoot porn all over the world.
Yeah, we have a series right now that we're doing called Global Entry. And the idea actually came full circle, bringing it back to the drag world, is... that I was on my 40th birthday trip to South Africa, and I went there with Bianca, and she was doing shows in Cape Town and Johannesburg, And I said, how this little motherfucker is packing this theater in Cape Town, Johannesburg. I didn't know all these queens and all these gay people just are in the thousands everywhere. I mean, yeah. Yes, you know, there's gay people all over the world. I've heard, I've Googled.
That's the rumor anyway.
But like, why don't we go explore this? Why don't we go to all these different countries that people aren't filming in and meet the guys and learn about their culture and film with the locals? And so we went back to South Africa. Mm-hmm. That was our first entry and global entry. Too many entries.
Well, that's the point of the series, isn't it?
That's the point of the series.
Too many entries.
We just actually won for Best Movie of the Year at the European Porn Awards for Global Entry Sicily, which is special because I'm Sicilian. So I was like, yes, I thought that one.
Brava, bellissima. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mangi, mangi. I did a lot of that.
But if you do that over in Italy, you'll lose weight. It's not like
exactly.
Here.
The calories are different in the metric system.
Yeah. And there's not poison in the food, something that America skirts with. What is the sort of general thrust of a global entry? Is it like finding love? Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Don't we all like a thrust? Hey! Do you find local talent and then pair them with the stalwarts of the Falcon Naked Sword dynasty?
That depends. It depends on how rich the casting process is in the country that we're going to. Ideally, like when we went to Sicily, it was all Sicilian guys except for one. And so then we brought in someone to fill in that gap, to thrust in that gap. But for the most part, we tried to cast the whole movie as locals.
Uh-huh.
So it depends on who we can find and who's willing to do it. We did have a big problem in South Africa finding, the movie was delayed and delayed for finding people that were willing to have sex in front of cameras. And, you know, I'm not here to convince anybody.
Yeah, sure. Right.
I'm not Sharon. I want people to feel comfortable and I want them to want to do it. I want this to be something that, like, is that on a bucket list? And we had this guy, Danny, who was South African, and he had been trying to do porn for the last decade, literally 10 years.
Wow.
He's been wanting to do porn. And so he was one of the first people that we cast, and it was exciting.
Sorry, is it not that common in South Africa? Is there something about porn that just doesn't happen there?
I honestly don't know what it is about the culture of South Africa that it was harder to find. Mm-hmm. And I don't do casting myself, so I'm not getting exactly the firsthand information. I'm not the one reaching out to people.
Yeah.
We have someone do that, and then they bring me, you know, the list of people and their pictures and like tell me a little about them, and we give a yes or a no. But it was a slow trickle in. Mm-hmm. There.
No pun intended, of course.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want a slow trickle in.
A slow trickle.
No, thank you. We'll call you.
Yes.
Yeah.
that trickle tickles.
So in casting, what's the process?
For a movie like Global Entry?
Or any, really.
We're shooting here in LA this week. Mm-hmm. I've shot four scenes so far. I have one more to do tomorrow. It depends on the brand. So I work for Falcon Naked Sword. So they have different brands that I film for. Mostly I'm with Naked Sword.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have Falcon and Raging Stallion, amongst other things. And those are like their three big ones. So a Raging Stallion guy is more working class, like more...
like a blue collar kind
more
of...
more blue collar.
Regular guy.
I hate to use like the word masculine because that's so like... toxic. So I don't, it's just more, they want like hairy, they want more rough and rugged guys for that brand. It's just who the customers want for that brand. Falcon is a different one that like, they don't want tattoos. They want you to look as like California surfer, but no tattoos, more of that look.
Yeah.
And then Naked Sword, which I love because that's what I do. They're like, do whatever you want.
Sure.
There's
okay.
no limits with Naked Sword, and that's why that's who I'm the lead director for.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then I'll switch brands and do for something else in the company. So in short, coming here for LA, we're shooting actually Naked Sword and Raging Stallion this week. So we like to again find as many local people as possible. Not only does it save money on hotels and flights, and then we could spend money on like a great location or like the production. The money comes as a whole, and then you could like put it wherever you want it.
Yeah.
Wherever it needs to be.
And the production values are very high amongst all the different brands.
Like the shit that the equipment and everything is very expensive. We want it to look as nice and polished as possible. That's how I feel we differentiate ourselves from clip sites,
sure,
or fan sites. Yeah. You know, I've worked for both fan sites and studios. The difference that I feel is like one is like a reality TV show. The other is like a more of a blockbuster movie you go to the theaters for. They're not going to eat each other. They're not going to eat each other out. They're not going to cancel each other out. Like people, yeah, there's still an audience for each, but you have to, if you're going to do a studio movie, you have to give it that glossy, nicer look, because that's what your audience wants. People, mm-hmm, are paying money for this, where they could just fucking Google free porn and,
sure,
find it. So they want to pay for the quality. So you have to give them the quality.
And what year did you start working in porn? And when was that in relation to when all the free Pornhub and X Hamster and Spank Bang? Not that I know these. I did some research. Wow. I got a list, uh-huh, of things earlier. Yeah.
Do you want to wash your hands?
I forgot to. Can you hold on a second?
I can. I started in 2008, the end of 2008. Uh-huh. So in terms of like the big boom of clip sites and stuff, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah,
you know so much more than me. You're so fucking smart. You bring out all this information, and I'm like, I don't fucking know, Craig.
Well, that's sweet, because sometimes I think like, oh, I don't know that much about this thing.
You know a lot. You're very smart.
But thank you very, yes, much. Well, as are you, of course. Anyone can hear that on Discretion Advised, your fabulous podcast with Mr. John Hill.
Mr. John Hill.
Yes, who's also been on the shows, on the Vander Show and all the shows.
She's a Bravo slut.
Yes, she is. She is. She works, love with it, Andy. She works later after on Andy's.
Oops.
See, what?
Oh, that's just that. Just on,
oh,
Andy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. At one time, yes. At one, yeah, time, yes.
That's something that, like, I'm sure John is so fucking sick of. Like, he dated him a million years ago. And, like, even the other night, like, that's how he gets introduced. And it's like,
oh, no. Really?
Yes. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, he's probably so sick of that.
Singer, comedian. I mean, so many things,
yes,
you could say.
He's Broadway. He's... But he fucked Andy is what we're getting at.
Yes, exactly. That's the lead line. That's the word, exactly, I was trying to find, exactly, before.
But I love, obviously, I love porn.
Yes.
And I love pop culture. And Falcon Naked Sword is so open for alternative programming that they're like, do we want to do this podcast? You love these two things. Let's bring them together. Let's put a housewife on with a porn star and talk about Grindr, or talk about anal, talk about these crazy things. And these housewives love it because they don't get to really talk about that. Their audience, yeah, is more Midwest gals who want to talk about Froze all day.
Yeah.
And we're talking about semen.
Well, one of my favorites that I've seen is Luann.
She's fucking amazing. She even came out to Fire Island, did my show there. So she's a good time gal.
She seems that way. And, mm-hmm, she's very hot. She's very hot. And everything
and
she does.
Kisser.
What's that?
And a great kisser.
Oh, okay. And you found that out personally?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's a shame. Can we? I'll just cut it so it sounds like.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. A little, yeah. She'd be fine with that. She'd be fab fit fun. She'd be very au fait with that.
Uh-huh.
So Fire Island, now you put on shows there. Tell me about Fire Island, because I only know about it in terms of, what was the place called? The Ice Palace or something?
Ice Palace is in the Grove, yeah.
Does it still exist? That?
Yeah. Dan,
okay,
Narduccio bought it a year,
oh,
or two,
wow,
ago.
Okay.
And it's kind of redone it and
now it's just
revitalized.
Gonna go, no.
That, yeah,
it's gonna go down the
going to fuck Daniel. He always gets great people, and I love Daniel. He's revitalized the whole situation over there.
So when you say revitalized, what was it like over there for a while? Because the Fire Island of legend that I know about is when God, what's that guy's name? The guy who started the remixes is from Tom Moulton, who, mm-hmm, then produced Grace Jones, and he's sort of cited as the first 12-inch remixer.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were talking about,
no,
my job. Here we go, Craig. Here we go. Let me get comfortable.
I forget the name. It's not John Holmes. He was larger.
Yes.
But there, yeah. So Tom Moulton, there was a T-Dance, and he put together like a reel-to-reel of all the best bits, but also repeated bits. Mm-hmm. And then that turned into him remixing stuff, because he became the go-to DJ. Because prior to that, people were playing like 7 inches. I know, which is also, you know, double
12.
Exactly. And then, you know, people were more accommodating of different things. Now we have size queens, but that's a whole other attack that we'll take later. Yeah. So then I know about that. I know about how the tea dances, I don't know if they started there, but they became like a big, mm-hmm, thing.
Yeah.
And it was, how would you characterize like an adjective before saying like, it's not the original P-Town, because it's a different kind of P-Town for those who don't really know, mm, what Fire Island is. Maybe you should describe it more, because I've never been.
You've never been to Fire Island?
No, I never have.
I finally know something that you don't.
Yes, yes, you do. Please.
I'm not going to tell you, dummy.
It's secret. If you haven't gotten it out there
yet. Sorry. Fire Island is just like, I consider our breeding ground. It's where the
literally and figuratively
go to breed each other.
Is that why you can't take a car there? You have to take like a raft?
It's so difficult to get to Fire Island. You have to take a plane, train, an automobile. It is not the easiest thing, and then a boat. There's no cars on the island.
Oh, okay.
It's all just boardwalks connecting each other. There's two main neighborhoods. There's Fire Island Pines, which is mostly the men homosexuals, and then Cherry Grove, which is mostly like the lesbians. But there's more recent years, luckily it's been like more mixed.
Oh, that's good to hear. Because a lot of places, you know, it's just like good fences, bad neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or ignored. And there's that thing. I love that I'm doing this while I'm talking while I'm adjusting my pillow. I always do that. And I'm like, why am I doing that? So we'll stop and pause. unfortunately, there's that strange thing that is best evidenced by the fact that there's almost no lesbian bars left in America. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there's like maybe four. And I could be doubling the actual amount.
Just the one.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yes.
But okay. So there's a mixture.
Definitely. There's definitely a very, very strong lesbian presence in bars on the Grove side.
Yeah. And you mean like the Grove over by the farmer's market?
Cherry Grove.
Cherry Grove. Okay. I was like, wow, I never go to the Grove that much. It's right near me. It's full of lesbians.
Lesbians everywhere.
Fantastic.
Yes. Trader Jane's. Like, it's all very lesbian. But it's separated by a wooded area called the Meat Rack. And back in the day, that's where people would go, like before the grinders and the apps, that would people go to meet and do the do.
Yeah.
But now, you know, there's the apps and people still fucking in the Meat Rack. But that used to be the place to cruise and do
sure.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there was a place in Boston Commons. I wish I could remember the Ramble. I think it was called the Ramble. Yeah. Every place had like a fun, not quite Meat Rack. That's like out. I thought the Meat Rack, when you mentioned it on one of the shows, that it was a bar. It just sounds like a bar. Yeah, I was like, what a cool name. Yeah.
Woods.
Yeah. Now,
but fucking Woods.
It's funny, too. I'm fascinated by the 70s light one in every way. Anyway, but here, this town was called Boys Town. And only recently did a dungeon open up in Vaseline Alley, actually.
So there's a place called Vaseline Alley?
Yes.
Here in LA?
That's the colloquial nickname. But there's a stretch of Santa Monica Boulevard, okay, where Hamburger Mary's starts, and then it goes down to like Or Bar, and in between there's Love Connection, great independent adult shop. So there, behind it, of course, behind is charmingly known as Vaseline Alley. If you look on your Nav app, Google Maps, yes, it will say Vaseline Alley.
Is the name because?
Because apparently back in the day, whatever day that was, that was the popular place to mingle, share information, chit-chat, and you know.
What information are people sharing in Vaseline Alley, Greg?
Who was a top and who's a bottom and whose verse, I think. That might have been the information. Or you know what I mean? It was maybe transmitted in other ways.
Work. Okay, I'll tell you.
Not through conversation. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vaseline. Huh.
Yeah, Vaseline. And I guess this place was a whole different place in the 70s, but I mean, every place was, really.
Yes. Well, that explains the shortage of petroleum jelly here in LA.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah, I saw a Vaseline ad from the 70s the other day. It's so inappropriate without even meaning to be.
Now, no, never mind. I'm not going to. We're giving Vaseline too much time.
Yeah, sorry. And we're not sponsored by that
not
either.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should.
So, of course, as often is talked about when I'm talking to a porn performer, or director, I know you legendarily do not perform.
Legendarily.
Yes, legendarily.
They have asked me not to perform. Please,
Mark,
don't.
We love your enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. We love it. It's just that.
Yeah.
You know, it's your eye. It's your eye. We don't want to be rude. No. It's your eye.
We don't say anything else.
So, what are the safety protocols and procedures typically? Because I talked to Michael Vegas recently, and I think everyone knows that porn performers are generally the safest people to be with because they're constantly getting tested and they're mindful.
Yeah. Knowledge is power, and they all know. So the safety procedures in terms of like filming, every model has to get tested. And then you have to film within a very short window of that test being out, or and then you have to retest. So it is very difficult. Like when something happens, a model misses their flight, or, you know, it's not so easy to, it's not just like an actor. You can be like, okay, we're going to pull this one in. They have to be tested, and it's a long process. And then they have the worst, one of the worst testing companies is one of the major ones. Always losing samples, always having to retest. So it's always, and it's the same thing in Europe too. There's another system there that you have to go through, but it all has to be cleared through something called the PASS system.
PASS, okay, yeah. Right. I was curious about that because I was telling you about being at that bottom floor shoot, and it was great because I was there for the consent talk. So I actually got to hear it in person and be like, oh, that's what they do. And then everyone sort of raises their hand and says, this is what I'm able to do now or want to do or whatever. And I thought that was fascinating. And I was also trying to think of, I thought, is PASS one of those things where every like clinics are authorized by this or not? I don't know.
No, there's only certain clinics that you can go to. You can't just go to any doctor and then have it cleared through PASS. You have to go through a lot of times, I don't even want to say their name because I fucking hate them so much, but it's a certain agency that you have to go through to get it through the PASS system. You can't
You'll
just
figure
go
it out
anybody.
At home. If you really, come on,
fuck
Google
them. But it's also like, other than the testing, you have to, what I do every time before a set, I always ask the model, what are your limits? What are you into? What are you not into? What is more difficult to stay hard in? What's your favorite position to come in? I always want to talk to them about what their limits are. How do we respect their limits and what they want to do today? Because what they're into may not be what they want to do today. So you sit there and ask. And then you also have to video, obviously, of their IDs. You have to make sure they're not under the influence of any drugs or alcohol. And you have to video like the steps before each scene. And then you had to redo the video at the end of the scene. Were your limits respected today? Did you do anything that was not your idea of fun at any point? Were you under the influence of drug or alcohol? It's very strict of what we do. There's, when you watch a porn, there's absolutely no one drunk, there's no one high. It's all very, very, I hate to take the fantasy away, but it's all very monitored.
Yeah. And I get really responsible though, which is kind of comforting in a way, because sometimes you see people doing things that seem like totally wild or very taboo, which is what we like, right? Like that's depending on what day it is. And it only stands to reason that that can only happen with responsibility. I mean, it ain't Boogie Nights.
It's not.
And of course, you know, too much coke or meth or whatever, and you're not going to get a hard on.
There's no point of that. I mean, I don't know how every single studio does it and how every director does it, but that is how we do it. For sure.
None of them do it as well as Faken. Falcon, so Naked Sword, sorry.
Thank you.
Faken is a whole different company, and we do not approve of them. So.
Fuck them, too.
I'll bleep that, actually. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah.
Just me saying, fuck you to all these people I don't know.
Well, exactly. But that's why, you know, fuck them.
Yeah,
okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, don't work for them. But anyway, work for Falcon, Naked Sword, especially if you're global and you'd like entry. Right?
Thank you. There's a plug.
What's one of the biggest challenges that you have on set in general? I have a couple other curiosities about that, but
yeah, fighting back the tears.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know you're very emotional, and
sometimes it's so beautiful. open that slit.
Yeah, sometimes it's not about the sex, it's about the connection.
The biggest challenge is, because I've been doing it so long, is finding what interests me. I know that sounds very egotistical, but
you've been to Spain, South Africa, and Rome, but you haven't been to me. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's why I started Global Entry. I did such a strong year of storyline movies that were very heavy. It was a series called The Swords that kind of took the history of Falcon, Naked Sword. Falcon was established in 1971. And it kind of flips that as all these porn stars you've ever known were secret operatives for the government because they knew gay people would be the ones to be influencing society. So they had these guys, you know, they were there at the Vietnam War. They were there at when Kendall Jenner handed the Pepsi. You know, they were always on the front line. So
Watergate, all gays.
They were all every gay porn star.
G. Gordon Liddy, look into his file. Yeah.
Yes, ask them. They were there. So it kind of is like a comical story about these porn stars being secret government operatives. And it was such a strong story. We filmed it in the Canary Islands and Paris and Spain and all over the world. And so Global Interest is like, that's, we always go to these places and we have a script and we do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Let's just go to these places and meet the locals and talk to them. So that's what I found interest in doing right now. So the biggest challenge is doing something that I haven't done before. Mm-hmm. Like they said, you can never film in the Everglades. We've tried it so many times. It's dangerous. That's what I did. I filmed in the Everglades. Like, I like to do shit that hasn't been done before. I mean,
yeah,
at the end of the day, we've all had anal. I know. don't lie to me, Craig.
I'm not going to lie to you.
We've all had anal. We know what it's like. Like,
Mark and I used to talk before that happened, and Mark was like, I think maybe, and I was like, well, you know, I'm maybe. It might be, yeah. And then it did happen, or something happened. It wasn't anal yet. Yes. And then I told you as we were on the way to a porn awards, it was very funny. It was a very rapid ascent into the whole thing. And I was telling you as we were going to the porn awards, I was like, well, this thing did happen. And you were like, I had a feeling. I've been listening, and I think that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you were there at the dawn of my awakening of all that. So
welcome.
Thank you very much.
To the dark side.
Thank you.
But you had actually told me something about that porn awards. I don't drink anymore. But that was back in the day when we were drinking. And I have no idea what happened this night. And you were kind of just filling me in. And you probably have a lot of lovely secret stories that I don't know about.
Yeah, Patreon only. No. I wouldn't want to be cruel. Basically, you were defending the honor of some people that had arrived at Mickey's with us. Something to do with either people not being allowed into a section. I think that's what it was. Because okay. there was a section that we got into, and then we were kind of like, wow, this is really jammed. It's really jammed. And it was all folks from the Porn Awards. Incidentally, if anyone's at a gay porn awards and they're waiting in line for the bathroom, it's like a Rush concert. Go to the women's bathroom. I had to alert some people who are maybe waiting to use the toilet, maybe just waiting to stand around doing illicit things. I said, just go in there.
You're fine.
They were like, wow, really? I was like, what do you mean, wow, really? I was like, the one woman might come in here. What are you going to do? You know, not going to just complain about you. They'd be like, whatever. Anyway, at Mickey's, everyone was piled into some area.
Okay.
And I mean, it's a kind of a tight fit there, you know, not in that way, maybe later. Yeah. But then something happened, and that I'm not that clear on. Okay, and then you were having it out with someone, and then someone else, and that someone else turned out to be the owner.
Yikes.
And I think we came here afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. There were some folks I was trying to decide or figure out if one of them that I met at the live taping of your podcast the other night was here.
At Mickey's.
Yes.
So they let me back in.
Yeah, that's right. It was at Mickey's, which is the beautiful thing. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Full circle. They accepted me back. Thank you, Mickey's. Don't know what happened the first time. I'm sorry that we argued, but I'm glad that we made amends.
Yes, but you know, I'm making amends. It's interesting. You were talking about not drinking, but I have to say it was impressive because I thought, look, that's great. Mark's not going to take any shit off no one, as to paraphrase something from Goodfellas. But when you stopped drinking, when was it? And what was the sort of precipitating event or events that led up to it?
I wish there was like a great, beautiful answer, because when I tell people that I stopped drinking, they're like, oh my God, are you in recovery? Or like, were you an addict at some point? And I kind of like wish I was, because it sounds like I should have been. But I never was a big drinker. So that's why, like, on nights like the porn awards, like the once, you know, every couple months that I would drink, it would just take me over. Like, my body was not used to drinking. I would become some type of box troll demon and just go crazy. And I would get the worst hangovers. Like, one drink and I would be done the next day. My head would be throbbing. It's like, I can't do this. Like, I drink maybe once every couple months. So, like, we're just going to cut this out altogether. And I was doing something with Tina Burner before Drag Race. She does this, like, Miss Barracuda pageant, and I was one of the judges of that, and they gave me like a whole, you know, handle of vodka at my table. Again, I don't really drink, but like, it was like that moment was like, this is right here, y'all drinking, you want to drink, shots. And like the next day I was flying back to Miami, and it was a Good Friday in the Delta Lounge, and it just smelled like fish. And I don't eat fish. My dad was a fisherman, so like the smell of fish just like reminds me of my dad's armpits or something. So I just vomited on the floor of the Delta Lounge, and I was like, this is not happening again.
Yeah.
We're not drinking again. This is not a cute look. Goodbye, alcohol.
Well, good for you.
I just smoke weed.
Yeah. Were you already a weed smoker at the time?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
No. And it didn't give up one to go to the other. It was like a couple years later.
Yeah.
That, like I was always very weird about weed. I was like something I never touched in high school and college. I was always like, no, I'm a dork. I can't do drugs. And I still have only ever done weed. I've never tried coke. I've never tried anything else because I don't trust drug dealers as scientists. I don't want no offense to the drug dealing community. I'm sure you're all lovely, but I don't think you're scientists. So I don't want you mixing and, you know, willy nilly and putting stuff together that I'm going to put up my nose or my butt. Like, I'm not going to do it.
Right. Because boofing is apparently the quickest way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also now
quickest
there's
way to a man's heart.
Isn't that the truth? Yes. Isn't that the truth, folks? Yeah. You thought it was the stomach. Mm-mm. There's close. Also, and what's that?
It's close.
It's close. It's like the...
You'll make your way. Yeah.
There's the fentanyl problem, but then there's also this other stuff called xylazine, which they don't even have a Narcan equivalent for, or testing strips.
What is it called?
It's called xylazine, I believe. I only read it. It's X-Y-L-A-Z-I-N-E.
It sounds like an allergy med or something.
I know, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, have you tried xylazine? Ask your doctor if xylazine's right for you.
It's not.
No, it's very much not, because it's even more deadly than fentanyl, which I didn't know that could be.
How do you do fentanyl? Because I see the ads like, stop fentanyl, people dying every day.
Well, you know the
and
thing.
I don't fucking even know how you do it.
Well, people would have... prescribe patches sometimes for chronic pain or other things.
Yeah.
And then, but that was a very metered out amount. Still very dangerous though, because fentanyl is what? It's like 1,000 times more potent than opium or heroin or something.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the whole fentanyl thing started to happen, I think, because it was getting mixed in with heroin to make, because it's very cheap fentanyl. So then they would sort of bolster the heroin with this, but then it could be too strong. And then people were getting killed left and right and center. Then it started getting mixed with coke because they figured...
See? I know. That's exactly my point.
This is the thing. And now you can get testing strips for everything, and people should carry Narcan around with them.
Excuse me.
Even if they don't partake, because one of their friends might or someone at the club might. Because even though it's scary and all that stuff, people still willy-nilly buy from whoever.
I love that willy-nilly has made its way twice so far in this podcast.
It's going to be the name of the episode, I think. Willy-nilly with Mark McNamara. Yes. That's going to be one of the new brands for Falcon Naked Sword.
I'm writing a movie called Willy-Nilly right now.
What's the thrust of willy-nilly?
Well, his name's Willy.
Okay, yes. Well, what's the nilly? Is it like Nelly?
Maybe
like
Willy...
a Southern accent?
Maybe they're brothers, and it's like a brother fucker situation, and you meet Willie and you meet Nilly, and you have to decide, like any self-respecting gay would, you have to fuck both Willie and Nilly to see who you like more.
There you go.
Willy-nilly is a brother fucker series.
Okay, fair enough. And then, like they say, there's a lid for every pot, so everyone ends up happy in the end.
Yes, the family reunion is lit.
And every end is happy,
exactly.
So.
Look at that. Write a script for me already.
Be happy to.
Right, willy-nilly.
We're already doing it. Proof of concept right here.
Thank you. Copyrighted.
So when you were writing stuff beforehand, you said you worked at VH1. What kind of scripting were you doing? Was it like soft scripting reality shows? Because you said VH1, that's what I think of.
Yeah, so there was, I worked on a TV show called The Agency, which was about the Wilhelmina Modeling Agency. It only lasted for one season because those motherfuckers were wild. I don't know. I actually never watched the show, which sounds so stupid to me. Like, I would fucking watch it now. I love reality TV, but I don't think I was in...
the vibe of
the
it?
The vibe of, like, wanting to see it. I just know that, like, behind the scenes, and I don't know if they ever actually showed this, like, one of the girls, like, went to a bar and lit her nipples on fire.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And, like,
the
network was like, all right, we've gone too far.
I like that, because now they'd be like, we've renewed it after this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else can you light on fire?
That was an interesting era. Roughly what year was that?
2007 or 8.
Okay, yeah, that's a very interesting time for reality shows, because that's just after the era of Jonathan Anton's blowout on Bravo.
Yes.
I love that. I have bootlegs of season 2 and 3. I don't know why I didn't buy season 1. I used to have them all in a DVR.
Garbage season.
Well, I mean, they're all great because he cries. Do you know that that was one of the first shows that Bravo tried to have podcasts for, but they didn't know what they doing. It was him basically on some portable recorder. Okay, I'm like starting my day. I'm going to like get my hair going. You know, it's like just like 11 minutes of rambling of a maniac. And I have them all on a drive somewhere.
And that inspired you.
Yes, it did. That's how we got to be here. Yes, perfect. Exactly.
Perfect. Is he still with us? What's his name?
He is still with us. Jonathan Anton. His brother directed Burlesque. Oh. And that brother's also in The Last Great American Virgin and a few other movies, Steve Anton. And his sister started the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Oh, my God. Okay. The Antons fucking go in.
And a showbiz dynasty.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I think he still has a salon, too. So
his salon?
Salon. Yeah. Salon Jonathan. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We gotta go.
Yeah. But that's 2004. Then you got The Agency. And that was, I think, during that big, like, spate of model-related shows that weren't America's Next Top Model. Mm-hmm. There was that Faye Dunaway show.
What?
Yeah, Faye Dunaway had a one-season reality show, and it might have been about acting, but there's some clips online.
Yeah.
The thing about this whole era, you cannot find them anywhere. They have been white. Yeah, they're in the vault, rotting along with the surreal life, and you can't get any of those shows anywhere.
I think they're going to, like, Peacock is reviving all these things and they're bringing them back. Like they just brought back Tabitha Takes Over.
Yes.
And all that. I think the streamers are getting on board with, hey, we're kind of making some garbage right now. Let's bring back the old fun shit.
Yeah. And also these people want this and then we'll watch it 24/7. So when the Housewives are on pause or whatever,
yeah,
they're never really on pause right now. So you are well up to date on Housewives, whereas I love
I love my gals. They all come out to Fire Island and they fucking go for it. These bitches are horny. I love them all.
Oh wait, and we got off topic of Fire Island. We were distracted by The Agency and all that magic. No, it was my fault because I asked you. I led you down the Primrose Path. Primrose Path, is that also going to be a new film from
Primrose? It's floral.
It's floral. It's kind of a getaway. It's not quite Global Entry, but it's like, you know that restaurant Arden? Okay.
I know nothing about LA. I don't know where I'm at right now, to be honest.
We're on a moving barge. Yeah, it's kind of like pirate radio. Yeah, it's totally good, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can go swimming afterwards.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. In Fire Island, you've been hosting a party for a while.
10 years.
10 years. How did that come to be?
You know what? It's so weird. Like, I feel like most things, like the podcast, someone just ask. And I'm like, I come from the Bianca Del Rio school of saying yes to everything. When we actually both, he did Drag Race in 2013 and I started my company in 2013. And, you know, obviously he blew up like he always has deserved. I've known him forever.
I think Roy's stayed fairly slim. So I think that's kind of a rude thing to say about your friend.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's all right.
I mean it. He always like said the advice, just say yes to everything because people eventually will stop asking. So just say yes.
Point.
So with the podcast, with that, like, yes, of course I will do it. Like I always, like I saw Courtney and Adore last night at Mickey's and someone came up and was like, God, I don't know how you guys do this. And Courtney just looked over, it's because the money. People are like, you would do it too if someone asked you.
Yeah,
and that's how I feel too. Like, God, I'm very nervous like around crowds and all these things. On stage, I'm totally fine. But like if we're in a bar, I get really bad anxiety. Like I'm not good with people. I'm very shy. So I'm like going to my shell. But if someone asked me to host something, yes, because the money. So to come back, they asked me to do Fire Island. But it wasn't so like clean, like do this, here it goes. They said, Will you bring a show? Jackie, who owns Cherries and Fire Island, Roy, Bianca always did a show there. And so I would always come as his guest. And so then she said, hey, Mark, I know you direct porn. Will you bring like a porn party out here?
Yeah.
I said, yeah. And then they had Robin Bird. Remember
her? Oh my God. Yeah. The queen of public access television.
She hosted the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
And Jackie said, will you host it? And I said, okay, let's do it. And so then that's how it started. And we were at Cherries on the Cherry Grove side for 5 years. And then they switched over to the Pine side about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And now it's evolved into, it used to be like a live sex show. It used to like mostly be sex and like the guys would like do. And now it's this year or last year it became more of a game show. Uh-huh. And now this year it's more of like we have a housewife versus a porn star and we put them through a series of ridiculous like sexual games and we have a winner at the end and something's a stupid prize.
Mm-hmm. Were these the Fame Games? Is that?
This is the Fame Games. It used to be called Blow and Cherry Grove. Uh-huh. And then it was Play when we brought it to the Pines. And then this year it's Fame Games. You always got to like keep doing something new. Don't do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, we always try to reinvent it and do something new every year.
Well, especially, right, my guess is that a lot of the same folks are coming to Fire Island every year, right?
They have the shares. Yeah. They have their houses out there. Yeah. They don't want to watch the same movie every year. They're not like you. They're not watching Body Double every Tuesday night.
It's Wednesdays. But anyway, yeah, it's okay. Right. It's all right. It's been a while.
Do you want to put it on?
Yeah, well, thank you. I was going to ask, but just going to let me open the box set back there. You can stare at the poster in the meantime. I have the video disc if you want to look at it. Dead Media Technology. It's right over there.
Can I rent it? This is actually, video library is not closed. It's just Craig's house now.
It's just over here. Yeah, we actually saw it once, but we won't get into the details, but I was going through something traumatic so much at the time that I didn't have any remembrance that we went to it. So
we sure did.
I just was like, wait a second. Anyway, we
but
did.
Now we're even. You forget, I forget. Whenever we are together, one of us forgets. That's why we're doing this on tape.
Yes.
So that we will both remember this happened today.
Exactly.
Thank
exactly.
You.
My Finally pleasure.
We got it right.
And thank you. Yeah, this is what we should do all the time.
Yes, just we're each other's body doubles.
So you've been doing that in how many weeks or months out of the year are you there?
For the first 9 years, it was every week. It was every Thursday. And even last year when I was like going to different countries every month, like it became too much. Like I'd land from Sicily and go right into doing the show that night. Yeah. And then the next day I would fly somewhere else. And so this year I set a boundary. I was like, I cannot do it every week.
Yeah.
I know I come from the school of saying yes to everything and I will say yes, but I've got to do it like once a month or like maybe twice a month on the high season. Cause it starts in Memorial Day in May and it goes all the way to Labor Day in September or the end of August. And so it's a big commitment to be there every week. So this year we're doing it like once a month or in July and August, I think we're doing it twice a month.
Now, would you stay out there at first? Would you be like living there for a chunk of time or would you always go back and forth?
Although I appear to be so, I'm not a crazy person. And so I have to be, I go out there for the night. I go there Thursday night, do it. And then I leave Friday morning. And back when I lived in Miami, it was like, it was even more of the pain. Cause it was like, going there, flying there every week. It's like, why are you guys fucking flying me here every week? Bless your hearts.
But yes.
I can't imagine.
If people are flying you, though, that's pretty good, right? You're like, yeah, it's not bad.
Hey, I got my Delta miles.
I was going to say, that's why you're in the Delta lounge. You're able to vomit in class.
Yes, they've asked me not to come back, but I still showed up.
You're still welcome at the gym, though?
It depends what I'm doing.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. Mark had a little bit of an ERP thing. Not caused by you.
Did something happen at the gym that I don't remember?
Well, you barfed at the gym.
Oh, yes, I did. I actually don't go to that gym anymore.
That's my choice, though.
Someone farted, and I'm so sensitive to smells. Like, you would think filming porn, like, I've been around the smells. But, like, I can't. I am not a good, like, that's the one thing. Like,
olfactory smells. Princess.
And there was like three of us there and he just did the most rotted fart you could. And it just went right into my mouth and it just threw up all over the floor.
And all he had was a coffee and a banana, which is not great for... Like, I'm going to go exert myself.
It was great because that nothing was stuck in your throat.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Sometimes you have like a noodle or a pasta. You don't want to throw away that or even rice. I don't like throwing up rice.
No.
But banana and coffee, it was fine.
You don't want a bulking agent.
It tasted how it did basically going down. Not much of a difference.
Yeah. You already had an acidic situation going on anyhow.
Yeah.
So how often do you work out? I was talking to John, Arthur Hill, of course, of Discretion Advised and Radio Andy.
Andy Cohen-Sachs? Really rubbed that in there.
Well, I was talking to Andy Cohen-Sachs the other day.
There you go. And, poor John.
I know.
He's so much more.
You mean Andy Cohen-Sachs?
Yes. No. Sorry. Yes, I'm calling you by his
We're going to have to bleep that, I guess, John. Or Andy. Anyway, but he works out every single day. And I admire that because I never have worked out. I do think about it sometimes as I get older. But I haven't. So I'm interested how many days a week you work out. You seem fairly dedicated to it.
I am not mentally well, so I use that as
well.
My
welcome.
Therapy.
Welcome. You're in the right apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is my peaceful zone. I actually do enjoy going. I don't like doing any type of cardio. I don't like to run unless I'm being chased. But I do like lifting up things and putting them down. Like for some reason, the dumb shit. That's why I watch reality TV. Like, you got to give your mind a break sometimes. We're hustlers. You are. Like, we work so much.
Yeah.
And so I go to the gym as the side effect is that, like, you become in shape. You can do the things that, like, I had to hold a fucking camera all day and I had to travel with all these big packages. I have to be in a certain amount of physical shape in order to do my job. And it's fun to me. I like doing it. It's something that I enjoy going to the gym. I don't go every day because I'm not. John's a crazy person.
I heard rumors. I read on Reddit, you know.
He's definitely crazy. I will go 5 times a week, more realistically 4.
Do you do the same routine or setup every time?
No, I always try to do something different because I don't like repetition. I also don't like knowing what's coming next. I like always doing new things. I get bored. That's why I can't date, really.
Now,
I get
curious
bored
about that
with
too,
like the same thing over and over again. I like to know what's not coming next. I like to know what's coming next. My words. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth next.
Well.
So
you're kind of writing a song now. That's a good new wavy kind of thing.
Do you see how nice I was? I burped, but I put the mic away.
I appreciate that.
I almost put it in.
Yeah.
Like, do you hear that? Does that sound weird?
Like, yeah, I'm gonna burp. Yeah,
that's my insides.
Listen to my heart. Me and my rhythm box, of course, Liquid Sky. That's what it makes me think of. What the hell was I going to say?
Again, I have no idea what Craig's talking about. Sometimes you'll say something, I'm like.
I had a feeling.
Exactly
I was like,
"No,
but yeah, you'd like it."
You're so smart.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. It's a new wave film from early '80s.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's
Fuck
a lot
new
of.
Wave.
What's that?
I'm just kidding.
It's after it's surfing stuff.
Okay. It's so after the first wave.
It's after the first wave. It's a new wave, and then if you didn't make it, you saw Point Break.
That was on the next wave.
Yes, exactly. That wasn't the new one. It was the next one. Uh-huh. Yeah. It actually influenced a lot of fashion, and it was kind of the club kid aesthetic, but then it imagined what it would be like sort of 6 steps down the Primrose Path and all that stuff. And it had a huge influence on Electro Clash and bands like Tracy and the Plastics and all that. First Your Spooner, those charming little rascals. So anyway, we were talking about the gym. We were talking about dating. So what's your romance pattern, as I like to call it, been? I guess historically, and then more to the point in the last 10 years.
God, here we go. Therapy, lay down. I believe in love. I know it's there. I believe in life after love. It just is, I think you live many different life cycles in one lifetime.
Sure.
And I can say what I'm feeling right now, and that may change in the future. But I'm not in a place, like, and I haven't been since, well, I think at least for the last 5 years, that I feel very strongly that I don't want a partner in that sense.
Yeah.
I have been in love. I was with the love. I feel like the love of my life. I experienced it. I felt so strongly, and it was absolutely a beautiful thing, and I don't want to ever have to experience that again.
Even the good part, like even the part where you were like fully into it, or was it the end stage that was?
Love is very painful, and I think I am a very sensitive person, and I just don't want to
have those nerves be.
It's so hard. It is so taxing on your mind, your body, your soul, and your whole. It's not. I don't feel I'm prepared to do that again. Mm-hmm. Not only like the good parts, but like I've never been in a relationship that lasted. That's why I'm single right now. So the track record shows you will have to say goodbye to this familiarity, to this person. And I don't. Period.
You're not here for that.
I'm not. It's too much of giving away your energy. It's too much giving away yourself. And the good is great, and it's beautiful, and it's like having a child, I would imagine. I also don't want to do that because I feel it will be too difficult. I will be worried every second of my life and I'm not strong enough to do it.
Well, it's funny because I never thought I was going to have a child. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about before, I was rather shocked when I found out. But now it's such a beautiful thing. They're going to be here, Ada and Peter, in July because we go back and forth.
Oh my God, his name is Peter?
Yes.
I love that.
Oh, thanks. It's named after my dad, my brother, and both my granddads.
Oh my God.
And a little bit of Pete Townsend. My mom bristles when I tell her that. She's like, well, it's more after
it's
your brother.
More
and
the family, right.
And I go, Mom, he's named after who I say he's named after.
Mm-hmm. Now come here, Peter Townsend.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Come on, Pete Townsend. That is the original impetus. So I was like, well, that's pretty cool too, right? Pete's name. And it's not that common of a name anymore. So mm-hmm. I like keeping that going. And Ada, of course, is the love of my life. And that's something that I never thought would happen either, because as you were witness to, my track record was a little. It is interesting, the whole idea of the different life journeys within a life, or the different eras. How are you with eras shifting and changing? Sometimes I've not been great with them, but of course, the one we were primarily talking about before we rolled was the pandemic, which I don't think anyone had an easy time in or out of or during.
Yeah. No, it's... God, I'm sorry. I'm taking in what you just said and like realizing, God, thank God the way I have sex, I'm not going to have any like surprises like that. I'm living like Beyonce's 16 miscarriages every weekend. Like no one that I've been with has carried a full term. Think like that. Just, do you see me sweating all of a sudden?
A little, holy fuck.
Like,
you're like,
these
boys
better not carry that.
Yeah.
sorry, what was the question following that?
Well, just, I guess, how are you with, your phone fell. It was like a whole thing. Yeah.
Well, that's the model has arrived. You arrived a while ago. You just stay outside for a little bit.
Yeah. This is part of the thing. Yeah. You're new. This is how it works.
Don't worry. I'll be right there.
Yeah. Nothing sleazy. You just have to be patient. That's all. It's a different era. But that's what I think getting to is eras. How are you with eras shifting and changing? Because as the old adage goes, the only constant in life is change. So do you find that, or rather, how are you with change?
Love it.
Yeah.
I love change. I need change. I can't. This is why people are always like, oh, do you own or you rent? I will never own a house unless it's like an investment property. I have no desire. I like to move.
Yeah.
I like new spaces. I like new energy. I like exploring new neighborhoods. Change is a love of my life. Change. I feel like the strongest and the smartest is not who survives. It's the people who are adaptive. And if you're constantly changing, you become more adaptive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a condition you need to do to yourself. You need to become adaptable and change. Just like the catalyst that will make you better at that.
I think it also leads to the thing where people say, oh, young at heart. What that is you're still engaged with the modern world, no matter what you're into in terms of art and culture. But as long as you're sort of amenable to going, oh, what is that?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that thing going on? Oh, that's interesting. What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at people like David Bowie or Chris Stein from Blondie or Mike Chapman, like I was talking about before. They are still vibrant and vital, Bowie is not.
You don't know. When's the last time you saw him?
That's true. That's true. It could be some kind of sneakeroo on that. But people like that, that's what keeps them. Madonna, for instance.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, here we go.
Well, I was just going to stop at Madonna.
Janitors. Say something.
Yeah, no, you're a big fan. Tell me some of the artists you're a big fan of, because I really enjoyed the bit where you and John were talking about how each other's music was trash.
Yes, his is trash.
Well, I have to go with you on that one.
He's garbage.
Yeah, he likes the latest, most sugary, most latest. Hold on, something just happened in the last 30 seconds. That's my new favorite
song. JoJo Siwa just dropped an album.
Forget about it. You won't hear from him for 2 days.
Love her.
Yeah.
It's not up my alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Janet, the Jacksons are my all-time favorite. I love...
Rebe.
Give me Centipede. Please give me Centipede.
Yeah.
Yes. I just love her so much. And I was so lucky to meet her this year for the first time. And the fact that I made Janet Jackson belly laugh and that she commented on my fashion, I was like, don't look at me today. Don't judge me, y'all.
Mark is a fashion
I came
player.
From filming anal, so I'm wearing adaptable clothing.
Yes. Yeah, you were in quite a unique number the other night at the live show, and it was like a leather military inspired hat.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you call what it's a jumpsuit, right?
Yeah,
but you have a thing for belts that are almost in another thing. They are a belt. They are working as a belt. Yes. But they are also some kind of draped thing.
Noose.
A noose. That's what it is.
The night doesn't go well.
Yes.
And I want to end it. Sorry, no. Funny enough.
No, you just want to wave. What you mean is you want to wave it around like a lasso and go,
hey. Yeah. Lasso that
anytime.
Asshole.
Very Blazing Saddles. It's a whole Fire Island thing, guys.
Sorry, you got to be there. No, it was a charity event for mental health.
Yeah.
A terrible joke.
Well, that's sweet. That's okay. The lasso and everything.
Yeah, there we go. Replace it with that. That was actually worn in a porn of the Swords movie that I was talking about earlier, where there are secret operatives. And I loved it so much. I wore on Fire Island when Jill Zarin was there from Real Housewives of New York. And it had just been sitting in the back of my closet for a couple of years. And I was like, all my stuff is in storage right now because I'm moving from one apartment and then the next one's not available. Again, moving until July 1st. So literally all my stuff's in storage. I don't have access to my clothes. This was just one of the boxes that I found. And I was like, let's pull this out.
Okay, that makes sense. Not that it wouldn't make sense if it was one of your garments.
It jumper. Now that tracks. It was so
ornate, let's say, that I thought, wow, did Mark have this custom made? Was it custom made for this event?
Uh-huh. I actually did have a custom made shirt for the event, but it didn't fit. It was a clear plastic, like, I don't know what material you call that.
Vinyl?
It's like a vinyl. It was a clear vinyl with
Ada
black.
Ada would know. Yeah.
Exactly. She probably made it.
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah, probably. Hang on. Let's look at her receipts.
Nice.
Yeah.
it didn't fit right, so I ended up. Yeah, that was my first choice. So
yeah, for vinyl shirt.
I love clothing. It comes from my Nana was very much into fashion. She was like a queen of buying stuff and then just having tags on it and never worn it. My closet is full of stuff that still has the tags on it because I just love shopping so much.
Uh-huh.
And then I just wear the same shirt over and over again. And I never wear this beautiful thing that I bought.
Well, you and John do a cool thing on the podcast, Discretion Advised, Discad Pod. I just want to look at it.
I love this plus.
You sort of theme match your outfit. So one day it's like you describe it.
If he's in New York, because I'm not letting him wear his nasty ass clothes that he gets from Willy Nilly's closet. I had to say it again.
He's a big shopper of Willy Nilly's.
Huge shopper of Willy Nilly's closet. And no. So if he's in New York, I will dress her into matching clothing, like we're Ashley and Mary Kate.
But I thought there was one remote one I saw where it was kind of like a collegiate shirt or something. Something like that.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it was a happy accident. Who
it
knows?
Could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were recently in the Poconos?
Yes.
What's the deal with the Poconos? All I know is, isn't that used to be a entertainment area, or am I thinking, no, that's the Catskills?
Maybe. You know, the Catskills. Yeah. There was like Algonquin, whatever it's called.
Something like that. Chill, no. Yeah. There was a lot of like the old school comedians used to sort of cut their teeth.
Yes.
In the Catskills. Oh, okay.
If I'm not saying that right. I don't know.
It's all right.
I just wanted to. I have two beautiful big dogs, and one of them, my old one, Janet. Her name is Janet. I didn't name her though. People think I named her because I love Janet Jackson so much. Her name was Janet in the shelter, and she was in a kill shelter.
Did Janet Jackson laugh because you were like, "I have a dog named Janet"? She was I can't believe you think I'd like that.
Exactly.
And then she just smacked you, and then
I wish she would have smacked me. No, I didn't tell her about my dog. I didn't want to freak her out. But my sister sent this dog. She's like, "This dog is being euthanized tomorrow. Her name is Janet. Go meet her." Ended up getting her because of her name, but I didn't name her myself. Anyways, she loves swimming, and so I got this lake house as I'm in between apartments before the next one is ready. I was like, I'm just gonna go live on this lake and go kayaking, jump off these cliffs and let my dog swim. And so I don't know much about the Poconos other than where the good lakes are. There's a lot of them.
The good.
But we saw everything. I was so happy. I'm a big nature guy. So we saw all these bald eagles. We saw bears. Every animal that you could see in that area, we saw. We got so lucky.
Oh, that's great. Now, what about Miami? I can't remember where you lived first. So back when you were doing the VH1 stuff, I'm imagining that you were in New York.
New York.
Okay. Yeah. And do they still have a lot of production base in New York, or is it all out here?
I have no idea.
I'm just curious.
We have not kept in touch.
Yeah, you guys aren't exchanging letters.
No, we're
or
not.
Or anything like that.
No, the post doesn't deliver it there anymore.
Yeah, because the reality department, it's a whole different thing. So tell me about Miami and what, did you have connections to it before, or you tell me, I won't guess.
Well, it was back when I was dating Diego, who is on Discretion Advice Uncut on Patreon, patreon.com/discatpod. We were dating. He was living in Miami. I was living in New York. And I was looking for a change. I'd been in New York for 15 years at that time. And he really wanted me, although he tells the story very differently, which is not true. He wanted me to come to Miami. And I was like, okay, I have this big dog. She loves swimming. Like, again, it's all about Janet. And so I was like, okay, I'll do both. I'm not going to give up my apartment in New York, but we can also get a place together in Miami and I'll just go back and forth.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I did it that way for a year. And then I just moved to Miami full time. And then that was that.
So you moved to Miami full time. Did you maintain the place in New York or
for
was that?
For the first year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the following two, I was just in Miami. And then I ended up moving back to New York after three and a half years.
Okay. Because I think when we were trying to coordinate a taping back then, I had started going to New York and you were like, yeah, I'm done, gal.
I'm not there
anymore. Yeah. Because Miami's a fascinating place to me. I've only been there a couple times. It was with my folks. And so we were at some burger place or something. My mom was like, do you want to take a photo in front of Gianni Versace's mansion? And I was like full grump. I was like, no, do you want to take a photo of me in front? I was
like, it's like taking a photo in front of the World Trade Center. Yeah. Like, what do you want me to do? Smiles? You got shot right here?
Yeah. Do you want me to clutch my chest or something? I don't know what.
Like, fine, mom.
Get the ketchup. Yeah,
exactly.
I was like, what? And there was some boat cruise. She meant well. Just, yes. I was like, this is not my jam. So that's all I know of Miami, and the beach is lovely. Mm-hmm. But so what was Miami like for you? I mean, you're there with your boyfriend, but how did you like Miami?
It was good for work in a sense, because there was a lot more space than New York in terms of filming, and you could rent boats and film outside, and that opened up a lot of opportunities in terms of filming. But living there was rough because it was also around election year.
If I saw
one more goddamn Trump boat, they'd go crazy with their flags and their boats, and that's just not for me, and I had to get out of there.
Yeah, Florida is fucking wild. It's crazy. My folks are in Sunrise, a place I could never remember the name of because it's a made-up name.
Yeah,
but it's near Lauderdale, and I was so surprised when visiting there. Just, I knew how Republican Florida is in general, but you really get a vibe around there. And also, there is no way to get around if you don't drive. People say that about LA.
No, there's not.
No, there's nothing out there. I mean, you could maybe get an Uber, but it's...
If you lived in Miami Beach, sure.
Oh,
you can get to where you need to go on a bike. But anything outside of Miami Beach is not really walkable enough to live.
No, and the streets don't even have names. I guess that's what the U2 song is about, where the streets have no names. No, they just got numbers.
Well, yeah. What do you think New York has?
Well, it's different though, because you're like, I'll meet you in the corner of 3rd and whatever. Yeah. But those, there's these anonymous looking highway things, and they're that's number 149 East. I don't know. It made no sense to me. I couldn't follow that.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I mean, I get lost anywhere too, so that's all right. That's all right. But it was strange to me. And it's also too goddamn humid. But anyway, enough about Florida, because them and Vaseline,
I'm from Florida, so I can talk shit about it.
Okay,
I'm from Anna Maria Island, Florida, which is on the Gulf Coast, it's a tiny little beautiful island. Luckily, it's part of the beautiful zone. But for those who are mad that I'm talking shit about Florida, just know that I'm from there and I can.
Yeah, be mad at me.
Yeah.
Because I'm clearly unaware.
I'll give you permission. As a Floridian,
I appreciate that.
You can talk shit about it.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So what part of New York did you live in originally?
Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like at the time you were there? Because I know it's been through a few iterations.
It was first off, they called it Midtown West back in the day.
I love the new names. Dime Square is another one now.
They love to change a name. They're always, and that's what I like. I like change.
and they change the name and the rents go up. So it's helpful.
I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to tell you what I pay in rent. You would shoot
lots
in my face
or something like that. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
And it's more now because you got a new place.
It is not okay.
Listen, you work hard, you play
mentally
hard.
Unwell, the amount of money that is going towards rent. But when I first moved to New York, that's when I found a really tight, great group of friends, and it was just so much fun. I fell in love with it immediately, and then going back to Roy and Bianca, that was my friend group right off the bat, and it was just
So Roy was New York based as well?
Yeah. Okay. He had just moved there from New Orleans, escaping Katrina.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you two met then?
We met, I would think we met in 2006.
Oh, and of course, I can't remember how many times you said Roy and how many times you said Bianca. So it's Bianca.
I never call him Bianca, but I'm trying to, because I know like your audience will know him as
Bianca. Sure, yeah, yeah.
But I don't say, hey, Bianca. Like, I don't ever call
him
Bianca.
Whereas I would, because I've only met Bianca as Bianca.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be like, hey, Roy, like feigning some kind of familiarity.
Like, even last night, I accidentally saw him at Mickey's and, you know, even dressed as Bianca. I don't fucking call him Bianca. He would be like, he calls me Manali. He doesn't call me by my, you know, other name either. So that's just...
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also stage name, sometimes the friend, it's like it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is with like lots of drag queens. You know, you're like, I don't know, do I call you that now? Or you don't want to be called that now. Okay, whatever you want, whatever you want.
Like, I think a good rule, especially for your friend, like call them whatever they're dressed as. If they're in drag, call them by their drag name. If they're out of drag, call them by whatever their name is. But I still fucking call them Roy no matter what.
Yeah. Well, as long as they are not bothered.
Yes, exactly.
It's all right. Yeah. So 2006 or so, and you were involved with the Hurricane Bianca films?
No. I make good films.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to get it on record. That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, no, not anytime. That. I would have several rewrites.
You only do dignified films. That's all.
Oof. Yes. Not even that.
Just good ones. Good ones that they hit the audience
that's
where they need to be.
He wouldn't mind me saying that.
No,
he
of course
probably
not.
Agree.
I mean, that's the whole Don Rickles of it all.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think
yes to everything. Some things you shouldn't.
Much less over and over again. But anyway, no, far be it for me to judge something like that. Judge. Why not? Why not? It's my show, right?
It's no body double.
No, it's. I mean, what is though, right? No. Speaking of body double, no. What about you getting do you get jaded about sex?
You know what? No, not like in my personal life versus professional life. I always think like a dentist is still going to go home and brush their teeth at the end of the day.
Hopefully.
Some of them don't. No, it's very different. Like sex on camera and sex in real life. I do get people who will know what I do and then be nervous because they're like, okay, here's someone who tells people how to have sex.
Yeah.
And now I'm having sex with him. Oh, he's going to like overly judge me. And I do. But no, it's.
But then don't they benefit because you know at least a few maneuvers that maybe they hadn't encountered before?
Maybe. Like,
but then do you benefit?
Not a position that I haven't like thought of or tried, or you know, most of the positions that I'll put in a movie is something that like I know anatomically.
Yeah, you know,
Adam anatomically.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it.
I'll get to know her.
Yeah,
it's. I love sex, well, but I'm a very shy person in
really?
Terms of
okay.
my personal life. Like, I don't love taking off my shirt. Like, I had to do a photo shoot this week for the first time since 2017. That's how like self-conscious I can get. I don't love taking photos of me. Like, the fact that there's a camera on me right now doesn't bother me because I'm looking at you and like can live off of that, and this is not going live anywhere. Like,
yeah,
I get really shy about my body, so like I could never be as vulnerable as a porn star and have sex on camera. I don't have that in me. Again, I'm just a little sensitive. I'm a sensitive top. I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
I don't have that in me. I don't want
it. You haven't had it in you. Well, maybe you have, but you're a top. Okay,
no, give me a tongue. Like, uh-huh. I will love my ass eating. Uh-huh. Don't give me a finger. And like, if I don't want, maybe this is why I don't want a date. I don't want to have to bottom. it's, and I also hate the guys who are like, oh, I'm a top because I think that's more mask. If you're a top, you're no more mask than a fist-taking bottom. You're having gay sex with another man. Just because you're doing one job or the other doesn't make you any less gay.
Yeah.
So that's also like, I don't know, I'm not the most masculine guy, but I also don't want a dick in my ass. That's a weird balance.
I like, I'm trying to remember the name of, what's her name? She's very controversial feminist author. I cannot remember her name, but she was very pro Madonna. But she would, not Jermaine Greer. I'll have to return to that at some other time. But she said something about there's nothing more manly basically than two men having sex. It drove a lot of people crazy when she said it. I wish I could remember her name, but not Germaine Greer. Well, it'll come to me afterwards. But
we'll add it in like a little dub.
Yeah, a little dub. I'll be like, that woman's name. Yeah, Dr. Seuss. It's Dr. Seuss. Yeah, Not a lot of people know Dr. Seuss is
no
a lady.
No one knows her first name. It's actually Jill Seuss.
Yeah, that's right. And it's actually the non-stage name, Z-E-U-S-S.
Yeah, it's not an S, British it's folks. A Z.
Yeah, but then you just do a little
like
change.
It's like me. My real name is Mark Manali, but my porn name and my work name is Mark McNamara. It's the same.
Yeah, how'd you land on McNamara?
Oh, I hate it.
Really?
Can I be honest? I hate the name McNamara because first off, like I'm Sicilian. That's a very Irish name. I love Ireland, but I don't connect with, that's not who I am. McNamara came from when I first started, they said, oh, you need a porn name so that we can put your email like Mark at the studio.
Yeah.
So I said, just make it Oprah at the studio. And so they said, no, you can't do Oprah. And I was like, okay, fuck, fine.
Stedman.
Someone said Nate. And so for the first year or so, I was Nate McNamara. And McNamara came from Nip Tuck, the doctor on Nip Tuck.
Oh,
his last
right.
name was McNamara.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how that came. And then it got so confusing being Nate and Mark and Nate and Mark. Just call me fucking Mark. That's my real name. I don't need to remember two names. I can barely remember.
You don't strike me as a Nate either.
No,
so
I don't love all the Nates, but Nate McNamara was something that's just so not me. So at least I got my first name in there.
Yeah, and it has a flow to it, Mark McNamara.
Yeah, same. It's also like, it's helpful because my family didn't choose to work in the adult industry, and Manali is not a super common name. So I don't want people like Googling Manali. My mom owns a school, and like, I don't want to like fucking fuck everybody else up because I chose this path.
Yeah, you chose the Lord's work, and
exactly.
Maybe they're not as religious. What is your family's opinion, stance, feeling about your line of business?
No one has ever said anything negative to me. Like, even my sisters have come to the Fire Island show back when it was like raunchy, where we played like What's In Me, where I would blindfold a guy and stick things in them and they would have to guess. They were there on the Flaming Cheeto night.
Oh, wow.
Some things.
How was the reaction, incidentally, of the participants to not just trying to figure out exactly what it was, but the slow burning sensation?
Oh, they knew exactly what it was. And that's why I'm not the one who puts it in there. And we do obviously ask for consent. They know that they're going to play ridiculous games. They know they're going to have to guess what flavor M&M this is up their ass.
I see. Yeah. Yes. Now, I remember on the Howard Stern show, someone did a beer tasting with their ass.
Oh, really?
Were they able to do that with...
We have had people guess the exact color and type of M&M.
Wow.
Yes. There's taste buds down there. Like when you do like a little fire snake, you had like something spicy the night before and you had a little fire snake the next day.
Yeah.
I think there are taste buds in your ass.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to go vomit after that little bit, that nugget of loose information.
Yes. Loose, but not little.
Incidentally, not that I would know from personal experience, but careful with muscle relaxers or naproxen. Just want to send that out there.
People need to know.
Yeah. Well, I had to get Dulcolax. That's all I want to get into at this time. It was bad. It was bad. I was actually taping an episode with someone, and I said, hang on, I gotta go grab something. I had to take my pants off because I was like,
what's happening?
Yeah, no. Well, first it wasn't, and then it was about to. But I was just in such agony.
I could imagine.
It was just unreal. Yeah, so be careful. Non-steroid anti-inflammatories can be good, but you think, oh, this is like a Tylenol. No. And I was also fogged up and confused. So confused, constipated, simply glamorous. So that's that's the new ad I'm working on for that.
I think it works.
Thank you very much.
I don't know what it is, but I want to buy it.
Thank you. Good. That's the thing. That's what matters.
Thank you.
So your family's all right with it. Mm-hmm. Were they initially, did they ever have any kind of...
I hid it from them for a while.
Remember, hide things from loved ones. That's the message.
That's what you do.
Yes.
Hide the money, hide everything you can from them. Those motherfuckers.
Jewelry as well.
Don't let them know. This is actually from my family.
Well, they're watching now. I'd like to say hello.
Oh, they're not watching. They can't. They can't afford this. Keep them on a tight leash. I did not let them know when I made the switch from mainstream to the adult world. It was a period of time, at least for a couple of years, that they didn't know exactly what the studio I was the creative director for. I did not explicitly say, hey, y'all, this is anal.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them that right off the bat. But eventually, I think they just found out from the socials, and then we talked about it, and it was...
So VH1 puts a party on in Fire Island. That's interesting.
No, I didn't even tell them, like, the first couple of years I was doing Fire Island show. I probably did, but I didn't let them know that it was, like, it started off as a sex show. They didn't know that
part. No, and it's just you're doing this entertainment thing, and creative director sounds good. It is good. And then, you know, VH1, it's not like they were watching the agency.
I didn't even.
Right. If you're not going to.
I didn't. But it's also like,
if you can't love your own show, how the hell can anyone else?
Exactly. No, right? No one has time for that. But you don't talk to your family about sex. Have you ever had a conversation with your family about anal?
No, so no. Actually, the only time, it's funniest thing is one day my mom said, Craig, we're just, do you date men as well? And I said, yeah, actually, yes. And, we were wondering, because when you're talking about some of the queens and the ones being gorgeous or whatever, just wondering, because I think they kind of had an inkling. I remember my mom years ago being like, he's very handsome, isn't he? In a movie, I was like, yeah. Yes, Ben Gazzara is a, yes.
Did you fuck him?
No. He died before I came to my realization.
That's no reason not to.
Well, fair enough. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I think they had an idea. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, but an unverified idea.
Right.
I think a lot of people did, like you.
It becomes a weird thing because what you do is so sexual. So like if you're at a dinner party or something, ask what you do. You may not want to talk sex with just any person. It's not a conversation that you throw out willy-nilly. You have to like finesse the conversation and make sure you're comfortable talking about sex with this person before you tell them what you do. You can start off soft and say, oh, I own a production company.
Yeah.
And then, oh, what do you do? Oh, it depends on the client. Like we do a lot of like streaming services.
Travel.
I do a podcast. Like you lean into the safe zone. Or if it's like some good time gal, you're like, anal.
Right, because probably more than likely, they have already said something that would indicate that it's almost in a way kind of like not hitting on the person, but the way that you're getting a sense for with your spidey senses, hey, are they keen on me or are they expressing interest? Am I interested in them? That whole thing. Mm-hmm. Do I want to share this much, even if they are amenable to this sort of thing? Because I'm sure that happens a lot too.
100.
You're like, I don't know, it feels like they might try to like press me for something press you for all kinds of information. Like, oh, really? Hey, do you ever do this kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to do that in about 20 minutes. But that's got to be something too, right? Like, conserving your energy in terms of conversational interactions.
That's why from here on out for the rest of this podcast, I'm just going to say,
Good. Okay. Cause I got a lot of entrapping questions that are going to just need a yes or no. And I can probably switch them out dubbing wise later on. Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. All right. So let's get into that. the social aspect of any kind of entertainment industry is interesting. Is there anything that you think is specifically unique to yours?
Wow. Thank you so much for that question, distinguished panel of judges. And my answer is,
World peace.
Yes, there. I mean, of course, like it, you know, brings back the last. It's sex. We're dealing with sex. So society, it is weird because I've been in it long enough to see it so much more widely accepted than when I first started. The porn stars were in that lane of being porn stars. And now, you know, they're invited to go on Below Deck. They're invited to do this, that, and the other. I mean, even me and Detox did Below Deck last year. It hasn't aired yet. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but I have said it more than once.
I can bleep it.
I don't fucking care.
Okay, cool.
I didn't sign anything. Maybe she did. but I didn't. It's become way more accepted than what it used to be. I mean, now we're mixing housewives in with it. Like, pop culture and porn are finding their way to each other. Our interest as a society has become less taboo. Like, porn has definitely become more of a mainstream thing than even when I first started.
Yeah. But what do you think about this? I think OnlyFans has had a tremendous amount to do with that, in that people respect anything that involves a lot of money. They go, yeah. Wow, look at that. Maybe they would have had a bullshit thing about judgment about it, despite the fact that they were steady, regular consumers of it.
Yes.
But golly, they're impressive because they make a lot of money.
Right. Money sometimes equates to respect.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone with a drinking problem, if they're very wealthy, they're eccentric. If they're just skidding by,
yeah,
poor drunk, pathetic. But I saw you
look. Sorry, there is a model who's literally outside my house. No, right,
speaking
now,
of that.
Me.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's okay. I mean, we've been going for a little while, at least 15 minutes. So do you want to record one now or do we have time? Or,
yeah, okay. I mean, that's true. I didn't know you started, so we may not even be on right now. That's
fine. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny. Well, we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yes.
And because we've been planning on it for years.
Oh, my God. This is a. Long time coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Akimoto. For any fans of Wise Guys, the Brian De Palma,
I literally thought
film.
You were looking behind me. I was like, who is
this? Well,
here?
I am. He's Mr. Akimoto. It's right behind
Hi.
There. Basically, it was, who was it? The guy, remember the guy with the rubber bands in his hair, the wrestler who was always around Cindy Lauper?
I don't.
All right. Well, we'll have to research that and find out if it's even
you
real.
You are just like this wealth of knowledge. I can't imagine there's space in your brain for anything else. You know so much.
I don't
like,
know.
If you were to take your skull off, it's probably so wrinkly because there's so many nooks and crannies of knowledge in there.
Well, thank you very much. But I mean, I can't find my way around neighborhood. Now, this one I can because I've been here for 10 years.
You know where Vaseline Alley is, that's for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, and anyway, folks, we're going to go show Mark where that is so he can bring his model over there. And with that, we say... farewell for now.
Bye, y'all.
Treat yourself right and head on over to patreon.com/Craig and Friends. Look at the reward tiers, see which one jumps out at you that you desire the most, and then just go for it. Grab life by the suspenders and pull at patreon.com/Craig and Friends.